Chapter 6 Shriya Shuka. A reason given as to why Shukadev Goswami did not directly mention Srimati Radharani's name in the Srimad Bhagavatam is because Maharaj Parikshit had only 7 days to live, and uttering Radhika's name would have thrown Shukadev into an ecstatic trance for 6 months. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it is mentioned, Shri Radha Nam Mantrena Murcha San Masiki Bhavet No Charita Matas Prishtam Parikshit Krit Krin Muni. If Shukadev Goswami uttered the name of Srimati Radhika, he would at once remember her pastimes. Due to his Radha Prem, he would have become Avishta Chitta, excited and fixed in remembering her pastimes and activities in the service of Krishna. He would then have become internally fixed on Krishna and externally inert for 6 months. But Parikshit Maharaj had only 7 days to live, and Shukadev wanted him to have the benefit of hearing the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Why would Shukadev Goswami go into an ecstatic trance at the mere mention of the name of Srimati Radhika? In his commentary on his own Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami writes, Srimati Radhika is the worshipable goddess of Shukadev Goswami. So whenever he uttered her name, he would become Avishta Chitta, internally spiritually excited and externally inert. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he has given the name of Radhika and other gopis in a hidden way. Shukadev Goswami has therefore not uttered her name directly, but only indirectly. According to the Rasa Shastra, an indirect utterance is better than a direct one. Veda Brahmatmana Vishayas Trikanda Vishaya Ime Prokshavada Rasyaha Proksham Mama Chapriyam. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.21.35. Krishna says, the Vedas, divided into three divisions, ultimately reveal the living entity as pure spirit soul. The Vedic seers and mantras, however, deal in esoteric terms, and I am also pleased by such confidential descriptions. So Shukadev Goswami also uttered the gopis' names indirectly, as in Anayaradito Nunam, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.30.28, which indicates that gopi by whom Krishna was perfectly worshipped, Srimati Radhika. A Rasik Bhakta can understand that it was Srimati Radhika who had most perfectly worshipped Krishna, whom Krishna had taken away from the Rasa Stali, or the arena of the Rasa dance, and whom he had disappeared with into the forest. It was only this gopi whose head and feet Krishna had decorated in a secluded place. Even upon uttering the word Aradito, which indicates Srimati Radharani and sounds so much like her name, Shukadev Goswami at once started becoming Avishta Chitta. But after becoming so emotional, he then changed the subject. Also in verse 2.4.14 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami used the word Radhasa, meaning Krishna's unequaled opulence, as an indirect reference to Srimati Radhika. Sanatana Goswami says that in the 5 chapters of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, which describe Rasa, in the Gopi Gita and the Brahmara Gita and the Uddhav Sandesh, Shukadev Goswami has also carefully used other words to indirectly denote Srimati Radhika. He has used the words Kaschid Doham Hitva in verse 10.29.5 and the words Taista Padais in verse 10.30.26 and the words Yang Go Pim Anyat in verse 10:30-35. The words Sa Va Du Anvatapyata in verse 10:30-38, and the words Kachit Karam Bujam Surye in verse 10:32-4. Each of these quotes denotes Srimati Radhika and the other gopis. Those who are Rasik Bhaktas, whose eyes are open, can see the names of the gopis and the name of Srimati Radhika everywhere. But those who are blind cannot. Therefore, we are especially grateful to Sanatana Goswami, for without his revealing these truths to us, we could never understand. But why would Shukadeva Goswami really become so emotional at the mere mention of the name of Srimati Radhika? In the Bhagavatam, it is often stated, Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sri Sukha means Shriya Sukha, or the Sukha parrot of Srimati Radhika. In his Sri Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Kavi Kaunapur explains that previously Shukadeva was the parrot of Radhika and used to sit on Srimati Radhika's left hand while she would feed him the seeds from a pomegranate fruit. She would pet him affectionately, telling him, Bolo Krishna, Bolo Krishna. This parrot would then sweetly utter the names of Krishna. Once he flew into Krishna's garden at Nandagram, where he began singing Krishna, Krishna, as sweetly as Srimati Radhika herself would. And in the same melodious tone, hearing this, Krishna was very attracted, and noticing this beautiful parrot sitting on a pomegranate tree, he said, Please speak, speak some more. Then the parrot began to lament, Oh, I am very wretched and ungrateful, because I was sitting in the hand of Srimati Radhika herself, and she was feeding me pomegranate seeds, milk and rice. She was teaching me how to sing Krishna, Krishna very sweetly. But I flew away and have come here, so I am very unfortunate. Then Krishna took the parrot in his hand and began to fondle it. In the meantime, Lalita and Vishakha came and said, This parrot belongs to our mistress, Srimati Radhika. It is so dear to her that she cannot live without it. So please give it to us, and we will return it to Radhika. Krishna replied, If it is really hers, then when you call it, it will come to you. And Sakis, if he is not really hers, then he will not come to you. They tried many times to call the parrot, but it would not come. Then they began scolding Krishna, saying, Whatever comes to you never gets returned to its rightful owner. Next, they approached Mother Yashoda and explained the situation. So Yashoda came and snatched the parrot away from Krishna, saying, You are always doing nothing but playing with animals and birds. It is time for your bath. Your father is prepared to take his meal, but without you, he cannot take it. So come at once. She then gave the parrot to Lalita and Vishakha and dragged Krishna away. Before Radha and Krishna returned to Golok Vrindavan, they told the parrot, You must remain in this world to propagate the Srimad Bhagavatam. The parrot began to weep, but they both told him, Except for you, there is no qualified personality to manifest the Bhagavatam, so you must remain here. So after the disappearance of Radhika and Krishna, the parrot began searching for a place where Krishna Katha was being spoken. Knowing that Sankar is a great devotee of Krishna, he flew to Kailash Mountain, where he found Sankar reciting the same Srimad Bhagavatam to his wife Parvati. So he sat in a tree, and being well camouflaged, his presence was unknown to Sankar. Because the first three cantos of the Bhagavatam are very philosophical, in accordance with the nature of a woman, Parvati fell asleep as she was hearing it. She wanted to hear only the romantic pastimes, especially how Radha and Krishna would meet and walk and laugh together. Now and then, the parrot would reply, Yes, yes, and Sankar would carry on eagerly reciting, thinking that Parvati was listening. When Sankar completed reciting the 12th canto, Parvati at once awakened and said, "But I have not heard what I desire to. Have you already spoken the 10th canto? Please recite it to me again." Then Sankar thought, "Then who has been hearing, and from time to time saying, 'Yes, yes, it is very nice,' in the same tone as Parvati?" He began searching, and then, noticing that there was a very beautiful parrot sitting on the branch of a nearby tree, he thought, "A parrot can imitate anyone's voice, so perhaps he has been saying it. No unqualified person should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he is a bird, he is unqualified, so he should be immediately killed. Otherwise, he may misuse what he has heard." Picking up his trident, Sankar went to kill the parrot, but it flew away and entered the ashram of Vyasadeva on the bank of the river Ganges at Badrik Ashram. There he saw that Vyasadeva was reciting the same Srimad Bhagavatam to his wife, who was so wonderstruck upon hearing it that her mouth was hanging open in astonishment. Therefore, the parrot flew into her mouth and went inside her. Pursuing that parrot, Sankar arrived there with his trident in his hand and said, "Vyasadeva, I offer pranam to you. I am following a parrot. Have you seen it?" Laughing, Vyasadeva replied, "Why are you searching for a parrot?" "I want to kill it," he replied. "Why?" Vyasadeva asked. "Because he has heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, but he is unqualified to have done so." Vyasadeva said, "May I ask you what is the result of hearing the Bhagavatam?" "One becomes immortal," said Sankar. "So, if he has now become immortal, how will you kill him? You should abandon this idea and return to your ashram." Realizing that the parrot could not be killed, Sankar returned to Kailash. After living in his mother's womb for 16 years, this parrot appeared in the form of Shukadev and later spoke the Bhagavatam. So because Shukadev was previously Sri Asuka, the parrot of Srimati Radhika herself, he was so rasik that he could not utter the name of Radhika without becoming avishta chitta. Other Puranas mention Srimati Radharani directly, but these Puranas are not 100% free from the tinges of karma or jnana. The Bhagavatam is beyond the other Puranas and unique in its freedom from all expressions other than the glorification of Krishna Bhakti. No hint of karma or jnana taint its pages. The goal of the Bhagavatam, in essence, even more than glorifying Krishna, is to glorify Srimati Radharani. This is so because Radhika possesses the most selfless love for Krishna, more than the other residents of Vrindavan, and even more than the other gopis. This being true, the Bhagavatam thus mentions the glories of Radhika in practically every verse. Those who have the eyes to see can perceive Radhika's name everywhere, in every verse. But Shukadev Goswami has carefully spoken the Srimad Bhagavatam so that these glories are mentioned only indirectly. This is natural, for one keeps those things which are dearest to him hidden, protected from the unqualified who cannot fully appreciate them. As a chaste wife covers her head in public with her sari and uncovers it only in the presence of her husband, so Shukadev has presented the truth about Srimati Radhika in a covered fashion. Only the rasik bhaktas who possess the proper eligibility can actually pierce Shukadev's covering. Another analogy can help us to understand this point. The naked body of a woman is not so beautiful, but if she covers her body with a fine transparent cloth and then water is poured on that cloth, each of her features will be revealed. This is how to appreciate the beautiful features of a woman. Similarly, the glories of Srimati Radhika are enhanced through the thin covering supplied by the author, the supremely intelligent Shukadev Goswami. Covering her supreme position also enhances the ultimate revelation of those glories. As things obtained with hardship are appreciated more than those easily attained. Therefore, the attainment of prema must necessarily include the overcoming of obstacles. Like oil hidden within mustard seeds, or butter hidden within milk, the glories of Srimati Radhika are hidden within the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the foolish cannot recognize them. The commentaries of Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, however, reveal those glories to us. In verse 10.14.34, Brahma prayed to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan, so he could catch the dust from the feet of all the residents of Braj. Uddhav, on the other hand, also desired to take birth as a blade of grass in Vrindavan, but only wished to obtain the dust of the feet of one gopi. The word Charana Renu, the dust from the feet, is singular in verse 10.47.61. He wanted only the dust from the feet of that gopi who had gone off alone during the rasa dance. And who was that gopi? Srimati Radhika. After leaving the gopis during the rasa dance, Krishna was smiling a mild, closed smile. Inside, he felt ashamed that he had caused the gopis some difficulty. Verse 10.32.4, 5, 7, and 8 describe that one gopi, Chandravali, took Krishna's feet in her lap. Another, Shaibya, took his other hand. Yet another, Padma, mildly chastised him. Another, Lalita, said with some sarcasm, "Oh, you are a very good friend." And another, Vishakha, was crying. Verse 10.32.6 describes a seventh gopi who exhibited man, jealous anger from a distance, expressing through her glance that she believed Krishna was ungrateful considering all that the gopis had done for him. This was Srimati Radhika. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, having assumed the mood of Srimati Radhika, and he tells us that the gopis are the best worshippers of Krishna. If the Bhagavatam did not contain the glories of Srimati Radhika, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would never have touched it. But because her glories are present within every verse, he embraced the Bhagavatam close to his breast. Thus, the Srimad Bhagavatam is certainly the spotless Purana, and because of its level of presentation of rasa and siddhanta, it is without a doubt the most authorized scripture. Thus ends chapter 6 of the Nectar of Govinda Leela. Mm-hmm.